Well, what's your understanding of what's going on with him?
Yeah, we're at the point in camp where guys is just dealing with, you know, the stress on their body. He's doing fine. There's nothing that we're worried about.
People just think of the knee just because of what he's coming off of.
That has nothing to do with the knee.
It's just, you know, the normal stress of practice. He's taking a lot of reps. He's done an outstanding job. And just like anybody, they deal with the soreness in certain ways. And he'll be fine.
Cooper, then, having obviously been out there much the last couple of days together. So when you take them out of the equation, how do you feel about the depth at the position?
Well, I think the advantage of them being out are the guys that get the chance to step up and get more and more reps. So what we're doing with them being out is developing the depth of the team, because they're the guys that are second and third in line now become first and second. And so, you know, we obviously want all the players out there all the time. The reality of it is there are times when they're not. And so the next guys up, go. I think it's still important this time of year. Don't worry about the depth of where we're at. You just go out there and play football. Everybody's trying to get their bodies ready to play individually. And then within that, everybody's learning how to play together within the scheme so that we can go out and play on Sundays.
Matt, last year you were high on James Casey.
Sure.
But how does he get on the field if there are two guys ahead of him who you like in the depth?
When he's one of the 11. That's how he gets on the field. And we have, like we said, we've got the flexibility to play with zero tight ends, one tight end, two tight ends, three tight ends, depending on how many we have available. Fortunately, our offense is very multiple, where we can just put them in and play, and it's not so much driven by we got to have this personnel to run this play. And James is very multiple by the way he approaches the game. We played him in the backfield. Today, because we're a little short at receivers, you're going to see more three tight end sets. So we'll get in there.
Have you guys already set the plan for how long the starters will play on Friday night?
Yeah, you know what? We've talked about it in detail, but we're going to try to solidify it later when we see, all right, we sit down and say, okay, who's available for the game.
Jordan Matthews has been talked about a lot. Obviously, you know, he's a rookie. Have to kind of temper your expectations for rookies, and is there something that you guys do to try to keep them from getting overwhelmed?
No, our expectations are high for all the players, and he's done a good job. And every little kind of hurdle we've given him as he prepares himself for the season, he's done a great job of jumping over. And he just continues to get better and better every day. So just like all our players, we have high expectations for him.
Brad Smith came in the middle of last season, didn't make a big impact in the offense, made full catches. But how big of a jump has he made, you know, from when he came last year?
Well, he's one of the guys that's really benefited from all the reps he's getting. And he's done a great job. I think he's improved by leaps and bounds from a year ago within our offense. You know, he's a very veteran player. He's a very steady competitor and player on special teams, and he's developing himself more as a receiver within our offense, and I think he's done a good job.
How about Josh Huff? In which ways is he starting to progress?
Getting better. You know, he's grinding through the camp like the rest of the guys, and you know, we're playing him outside, we're playing him inside. So of the young players, he's probably had the most to learn, and he's been on the right, he's been on the left, he's been on the inside, and he's doing a good job.
Why is that? Because it seems like Jordan is specifically in the slot, so why have him in the slot and Josh?
Well, we actually work all the receivers outside and inside, and right now Josh has got some experience playing outside, and with Jordan, you know, we really feel like he does such a good job inside that we just continue to improve there. But within the drill work, and I'm sure you guys are out here, you see it, we work all the receivers at all the outside spots.
Usually Alan Barbary's getting closer to nailing down that starting job.
He's taking the majority, if not almost all, the first team reps, and he's doing a good job. Yeah, I mean, you know, when we line up and we give you the final roster before we play Jacksonville, very good chance it would be him.
Last year at this time, Nick was competing for the starting quarterback job. You know, obviously he's kind of like the starter now. Does he go into the preseason games like trying different things, like, you know what I mean?
Well, I think he's going through this camp just like he did the spring, trying to develop his craft and get better at all the things necessary to play quarterback within our offense. And so that's just a continuation of that this weekend when he plays. And he certainly will start the game.
But is he able to do, like, try more things in a game than let's say last year because he was, you know, in this competition?
Not really. I think once you start playing, you know, there's certain things you need to do as a quarterback. Certainly you want to get completions. Certainly you want to, if we have a play design, to take a look down the field, take a look down the field. If it's there, pull the trigger. If not, check it down. And then within all that, you have to manage the run game. And if you're involved in some form of a zone read, you got to be smart about what you do with the football. And so, you know, all of that is stuff that you work on every day. You know, you just take it to the game and do it against a different team.
Pat, we've seen a little of Darren and LeSean on the field at the same time in two drills, but just basically just the nature of the depth chart. Darren's doing a lot of stuff in the second team. But, mm-hmm. I mean, you know, is that why we haven't seen more of that? Are you guys kind of like holding off on those types of plays?
Well, you've seen it a lot. I don't know how much more you'll see it, you know.
Yeah. Advantage of having those two guys in the field?
Well, having both of those guys on the field, you have two really good football players that can, number one, both function well in the backfield as runners and then as receivers. And then you've certainly seen where we can spread them out into empty sets or one back sets with one of them extended, one of them in the backfield, and then take advantage of their skills as well. So, you know, it just keeps us where we could potentially be more multiple. A defense certainly has to decide how they're going to play it, whether those two running backs are on the field with a tight end and two wide outs, or in some cases, three wide outs. And so they got to decide whether they're going to substitute personnel-wise, and then we can try to exploit from there.
Can you talk a little about offenses when it comes to stretching the field and creating space? I mean, is that kind of overblown? I mean, in terms of, you, I mean, is there enough space underneath to have –
yeah.
A short passing game. I mean, you obviously know a lot about the West Coast.
Well, here's the extreme. Yeah. Yeah, here's the extremes. We could put all four tight ends in the game and stand shoe to shoe and then tell, give the ball to the running back and say, find a space. Now, that's a true fist fight for 4 yards. Or we can take some talented skill players and spread them out, hand the ball to the back. There's a lot more room in there. So from a run game standpoint, you know, that's sort of the extremes, you know. And then from a passing game standpoint, the same applies. You know, a lot of times when you take a lot of big bodies and pack them in there, you know, then your passing game revolves around play actions, you know, where, you know, there are times when you can spread the field, certainly in play action, but most of the time they're more drop backs or lurking in a certain area trying to throw the ball.
That's the point a little bit. Shady has been really good about when running, whether it was Andy's offense or yours and Chip's, and really good at running out of nickel or three wide formations.
Space,
guys,
right?
Right, space. But yeah. If you guys played, for example, more tall personnel, how would that impact how he runs? Would the spacing be different there? Would it be?
Not really. I mean, we could be lined up in, you know, 12 or 11 personnel. Essentially, it's a one-back set, right? So how we space out the receivers, we can make the same play call essentially in 11 or 12 with one tight end attached and one extended, or the same play call with both tight ends or one of the receivers detached. So, you know, we're not really relegated to that. There are times when you want to get in 12. They get their big linebackers on the field, right? And then you play our guys spread. So, you know, those are, you know, we're here a lot of the time, so we got to think of something. You know?
Has Ertz reached the level of block where if he plays more of a block like Will, where he spread him out a little bit,
sure.
Is he as good of a blocker at his position now as Jason was?
Yeah, I think Ertz is a guy defenses. Now you start adding the down and distance to it. You put Ertz in the game with Selleck, and we tighten him down. I think he's improved as a blocker on first down. But if you put Ertz in the game on second and third down, maybe. Where it's more of a pass-first type scenario to the defense for whatever reason, then we can spread out Ertz. Now you got to decide, are you going to cover him with a linebacker, or are you going to commit to putting maybe a third defensive back in the game? So, you know, the guys we play against spend a lot of time in their office too, and so those are all the decisions you make.
Focus a guy.
I'll come right back.
What are you most eager to see Friday night from your young receivers?
What we want them to do, because obviously you back off on the scheme and the game planning. Certainly having played the Bears will help us. You know, Mel Tucker's the same defensive coordinator. So it's not so much scheme. We want our guys to be able to go in and function, get lined up quickly, run the right routes. When it's time to block, block, you know, and do all the things we ask on the perimeter. And then when it's time, you know, when you put the shiny pants on and the lights are bright, now what you want to see them do is when the ball comes their way, can they actually make a play? You know, those are the things you see. Because sometimes guys will be out here on the practice field, do an excellent job, and then when the lights are bright, you know, not so good. And so that's what we want to see. We want to see, because we got high expectations for all of our guys, as I mentioned earlier, and we want to see them take it to the field and do it in Chicago and Soldier Field and all that business.
Chris Polk's a guy who's missed several practices here. And through the course of his career, he's battled injuries.
Right.
Is there any growing concern about, you know, his dependability and how much he'll be able to contribute this year?
Yeah, we're not concerned. We think he'll come back. The injury he had, you hate to say injuries are minor, but it's something he's going to come back from soon. And he's in a group of running backs that we think are pretty good. So he's in that group with Darren, certainly, and LaShawn, and, you know, and Tuck. So, you know, we feel good about that.
How was Moment done while running with the first team, getting that opportunity? What does he need to do between now and cut downs to make the 53?
Well, I think he needs to continue to improve. He certainly benefited from playing with the ones. He's made some plays out there in practice. And he's made a huge amount of improvement from a year ago. I mean, it's night and day in terms of how much better a football player he is. And so we just hope he can continue on that trend, I guess.
As Paul told Les' question before, in your time as head coach, how did you weigh preseason performance versus practice performance in training camp when you came to determine the roster?
Well, it's part of the evaluation, certainly. You know, there are a lot of guys, as I mentioned, that perform well out here, and then they get in the game, and it's too big for them. I shouldn't say a lot, some. And so that's part of it. We want to see them perform well. Now, a performance for a skilled player doesn't always mean he had this amount of production. There are times because you're only playing part of the game, you know, you can't get involved as much as you might like. And so, you know, we weigh it also by them knowing what to do, doing their job extremely well, finishing plays, and so on and so forth.
Get Ertz and Jordan Matthews on the field at the same time without having to move one from a position where they predominantly practice?
Well, you say Ertz get in at tight end and Jordan get in at a wideout.
Right.
I mean, it's
well,
just
Ertz,
that simple.
Usually last year when you started to play Ertz more, you played him a lot and two tight end and he would be split and Celek would be in line. So it would seem that Ertz and Matthews are sort of similar.
Yeah, we could put him in, certainly we could put him in and Ertz could play the Y position. You know, and Jordan could play the A position. There's other ways. We could have two tight ends and Jordan playing a wide receiver but playing in the slot. So there's a lot of flexibility when it comes to that standpoint. And, you know, again, it's very important for tight ends, number one, to be efficient blockers. You know, you don't always have tight ends that are just going to knock them into next Wednesday, but you have to be an efficient blocker, especially if your thing is to pass, you know, catch passes. And I think Ertz is developing more and more and more, and I see his confidence starting to really build.
Are you confident in him as an inline guy, as the role like Celek would play?
Absolutely, absolutely. We, you know, he's a guy that can play attached, detached, or we can move him around. Those are big words, attached and detached, but you know what that means, right? Next to the tackle, all that.
The blocking has improved, though, pretty significantly from rookie year, do you think, from what you've seen so
absolutely.
Far?
Absolutely. He's improved his whole game. Whole game.
Okay.
Good?
Thanks,
those are easy to do.
15 minutes. That was 15 minutes.